Good afternoon, brethren.
Good afternoon.
Hope everyone is having a restful Sabbath day. A warm welcome to our guests. We're glad you're here. And I want to say a big hello to the friends on the internet. I think my daughter might be watching, so. Well, I'm glad we did a congregational hymn after Angie's song. I love that song, but I don't think I could have got up and spoke right away after that song. I love it. Thank you, Angie. As was mentioned already, we just finished Unleavened Bread. Mr. Myers, in his sermon, talked about we're supposed to examine ourselves and see what sin we need to put out of our life. But he also said we need to have a spiritual shelf to put God's spiritual way back on that shelf that we took out. I thought that was a good analogy. I don't know if anybody watched the movie Nemo or not, but right at the end, the fish was trying to escape out of a tank, and they was in a plastic bottle or a bag. They finally did escape right at the end, and they out on the ocean, but they're still in the bag. And one of the fish, the blowfish, said, "Now what?" So that's how we can feel too. We've been examining ourselves, putting leaven out of our lives, and spiritual leaven out of our lives. So now what? Well, we heard in the first sermon of rulers and leaders in the kingdom of God what not to do, what not to be, how not to be, what not to do. I hope to give the other side of that, of what we should be doing. So I have a question to start with. Are you prepared to be a king? Now, the scriptures that tells us that we will be kings in the world tomorrow and rulers. Are we prepared to lead? Am I? There's a lot of things that we need to learn. And the right way to be a good leader has been around for a long time. A Chinese general by the name of Sun Tzu wrote a book. It's called The Art of War. It was originally intended to be read as a work of military strategy and philosophy. But yet, even today, more than 2,000 years later, it is still used. It's used by our Marines. They study it, and they use it. So does business people in politics. I'd just like to quote a couple things at the beginning. Sun Tzu said, "Leadership is a matter of intelligence, trustworthiness, humaneness, courage, and discipline." Then he goes on to say, "Reliance on intelligence alone results in rebelliousness. Exercise of humaneness alone results in weakness. Fixation on trust results in folly. Dependence on the strength of courage results in violence. Excessive discipline and sternness in command results in cruelty. When one has all five virtues together, though, each appropriate to its function, then one can be a leader." So it takes all of those things, and it takes them in the right proportion, because the wrong leadership, as was talked about in the first sermon, can be the result. Now, Queen Elizabeth of England, the royal family, has ruled, her anniversary was in February. She has ruled 67 years in February. She's the longest reigning British monarch. She is now 93 years old. And think about patience. Her son, Prince Charles, is 70 years old, and he's been waiting. He was asked that question one time, and he said, well, I don't like the alternative. You know, my mom has to die before I can rule, so he was in no hurry. Well, we can learn from leaders of the world. Of course, we can learn the good things, how to do and how to rule, but we can also learn the bad things because there have been a lot of bad leaders. But I like what she said, and I'd like to quote, it's all to do with the training. You can do a lot if you're properly trained. That is why we are here every Sabbath. We are disciples, students of Jesus Christ, to be trained, to learn the right way to do things and learn what is wrong not to do. The first scripture I want to start with is Revelation 2:26. Revelation 2 in verse 26. And he who overcomes and keeps my works unto the end, to him I will give power over the nations. In verse 27, he says, the one that keeps his way, learns to do the right thing, he shall rule them with a rod of iron as the potter's vessels, and he shall be broken in pieces, as I also have received from my Father. Over a page in my Bible, Revelation 3:21. Revelation 3:21 says, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Again, a throne is a symbol of rulership, to rule. And a memory scripture that a lot of us have used is Revelation 5:10. And he have made his, excuse me, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. So it is clear that Jesus Christ intends for us to rule and reign. We are to be kings and priests. Now myself, I can see myself kind of as a priest because they're teachers and they give examples, and they expound on the law. I never could grasp the idea of being a king. You know, I thought about getting a fake crown and put up here, but that would be embarrassing, so I decided not to do that. But we are to be both. Now I'd like to go to 1 Corinthians 6:2. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 2. Now Paul's talking. He says, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Go on, verse 3, he says, do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain in this life? So again, it's made clear through Scripture that we are to rule, we are to judge, we are to be part of his kingdom, under him, of course. 1 Peter 2:9. the last scripture on that subject, but I wanted to show you clearly that it's in scripture that we are to rule. And we are to be kings and priests. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. He says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. Why? That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light." There Peter says he calls a royal priesthood. Royal, when it is used, it always means leader, royalty, connected with kings and royalty. So a royal, a ruling priesthood. So we will be both. Some people think, I've heard say, well, some will be priests, some will be kings. Well, I don't know. I don't necessarily believe that. I think we'll be both, because Jesus Christ, he's King of Kings, and he's also the chief priest, the high priest. So we will be the same roles under him, of course. So I want to give a few points. The first one that we should be doing now after the unleavened bread to put into our lives is to develop the mind of a king, royalty. Certainly the most important thing that separates us from the dumb brutes is the human mind. Though if through it we have created creative powers, which though they're limited, are like those of God himself. Also, we have the capacity of learning and acting on spiritual truths, even when these go against the normal lust of our flesh and brain. We have the capacity of decision making. We can resist the wrong things that we know is evil and should not do, and we can choose to do the good. Besides the total surrender of will demanded of all true Christians, the most important mental quality needed by a ruler in God's government is wisdom. This is the ability to take all factors of any given situation into proper consideration and then make the right decision. It is the most important single qualities really needed in any high government office. We could use a lot of that in our government today at Washington, D.C. Wisdom, which is very lacking. We also need knowledge, of course. Knowledge, of course, is merely the possession of various facts and bits of information. Understanding is a tremendously important mental and spiritual gift. It involves the capacity to grasp a true principle and laws which govern us in success and make success or failure in life, and the true goals that we should have of life. To be a leader in the kingdom of God, then you should seek most of all for wisdom and understanding. And then diligently acquire such knowledge as is useful and necessary in order to be a true Christian and a real help to others in this life and to be an example to one another. The eternal God says, "Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all of thy getting, get understanding." That's in Proverbs 4:7. So we should learn to be alert and to exercise perception in discerning the trends and the motives around us in every situation. Because sometimes things might be right, but the motives might be wrong. So we have to discern these things. And we learn to see the big picture, be able to view each problem, trial, or situation in the relation to its relative importance to our life. Be big-minded. Don't let little upsets or disturbing things disturb your judgment. God instructs us to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians 2:5. So we need to know what Jesus did. We need it in our heart and in our brain, so we can just think of it and it's there. Ask God to help us to do that, to exercise these qualities and have the mind of Christ. Read widely. Of course, read about Him and His ways and why, and every subject that He stands for and the way He approached it, how He dealt with people. Also, read widely of leaders in the world. Like I already mentioned Queen Elizabeth, but Winston Churchill is a good example. Benjamin Franklin, George Washington, just to name a few. Yeah, they wasn't perfect, but they could give us good examples how to rule, how to work in each situation. The second point, we need to glorify God in our bodies. The human body is called in the Bible the temple of God, and the temple of God's Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19. We are His temple. He lives in us. So we need to take care of our body. We need to make sure we know the health laws and eat the right thing. Get plenty of exercise. Our body is very important. It is the temple of Almighty God. We need to take it seriously and take care of our bodies. We must take care of it physically, but we also need to take care of it morally and spiritually, to put good things in and take the bad parts out. Take care of it mentally. Don't let things get us down. Don't be negative. Be positive. Take care of our bodies. Point number 3, develop the personality of a king. The next point to develop is your personality, a friendly interest in and an outgoing concern for others is a tremendous asset to any potential leader. We have to care about people, be willing to support them, take care of them, be there when they need us. For a leader is one who leads, not one who shouts and screams or physically forces his ideals on others. We've had people in the high office that does those things, and on the work job in the factory, the boss thinks he has to beat you over the head with a hammer and scream at you to get you to do. That is not the right way to work. Usually people, and I've seen it when I worked in a factory, they resist it. They all do the opposite. They'll just do as very little as possible because it's not the way to make people do anything and get anything done. It's just not. But we should have the outgoing concern and the courage, the dynamic enthusiasm and ringing convictions that, like I said, I've already mentioned Winston Churchill, that he had for the cause of Britain and free peoples everywhere. He was a truly powerful factor all by itself in helping to prepare the way for the Allied victory in World War II. He is still highly respected today in England for what he did and how he done and what he stood up to. He had a lot of negative people against him, but he did not let that bother him. He kept being positive and kept pushing on. We can study the history of other nations, and especially the history of the nation of Israel. We read the kings of Israel. When they had a good king, as a whole, the people was good. They were, and on the, because of that, then they was blessed by God, because they was following His laws, because the king showed them how they should be towards God. When they had bad kings, the opposite happened. And then a few times, if you study their history, it was so bad that God took them into captivity to punish them. So as I said, we should always be happy, positive all the time. A merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones, Proverbs 17:22. This statement in God's Word shows the powerful effect of a happy, positive frame of mind, not only on oneself, but on others that we deal with each and every day. A man that has friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother, Proverbs 18:24. So to impress, inspire his subordinates, people under him, and command their respect and loyalty, a real leader certainly will cultivate a friendly, persuasive, helpful personality and give of himself to others. In preparing to become a literal king in God's government, learn to give of yourself personally. And warmth, be warm and genuine and kind and friendliness to others. Number 4. I'm getting ahead of myself. Give away how many I've got. Number 4. Develop the character of God. The development of right character is paramount for anyone in a position of rulership. Be honest. Honesty, purity, fairness, self-discipline. We have to be self-disciplined ourselves and do the right thing if we want others to follow us. That's because most people, like was mentioned the first time, no hypocrites. You can't hide it. They see somebody says something and then they do the opposite. They see right through it, and they don't like to follow hypocrites. We need to also have love. Exemplified in the life of a king or ruler is the strongest possible influence on his subjects to be this way themselves. And again, as I mentioned, just study the kings of Israel and all the prophets, actually. When they're good, people want to follow them. When they're bad, people do not want to follow you, because people do follow their leaders. They really do. We could point to studying out of our own presidents. If you have a good president, as a whole, the United States was pretty good. But when we had an immoral one in there, the world got to be immoral. The United States, their character went down. Now the basics of all true character is found in Matthew 22. Now we turn to Matthew 22. That's the basis how we should be. Matthew 22, verse 35. Matthew 22, let's start in verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. That's why they was leaders. That's why they was hypocrites, and he knew it. And they was always trying to call him out. And that's why he called them hypocrites that we heard about earlier. They gathered together, verse 35. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Verse 37, Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." And 39, "And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Care about people that we've been talking about. Love each other. Work with each other. Help each other. And verse 40, "On these two commandments hangs all the law and the prophets." That's the two basic commandments of how we should be in character. Study the Bible through and through and look up all the laws, and every one of them is based on those two commandments. How we are towards God, worshiping Him, put Him first in everything, and how we should treat our neighbor. And how we should love one another. Point number 5, develop your family life. The fact is that each family is like a miniature kingdom. It really is. As the husband providing for the family and leading, and the wife supporting, helping, it's a partnership. It takes both of you, and they're right. I'm not trying to knock a single parents, because that's a must in this day and time. It just is. And the man or woman, they do the best they can. But the ideal relationship is for a man and a woman and to raise their kids together. You could even say a man is the king of the family. The woman is the queen of the family. She shows caring to the kids when the man is away working, and she develops that. They are partners. They're supposed to help each other. But either way, whether it's the man or the woman, if they're not following God's way and commandments, you don't have to follow them when they're not being true to God. You try to, and both work together to be God's children. But if one or the other is not following His way, you do not have to follow in that area. The children are to be taught and trained, nurtured, and women are great at nurturing their kids. That's probably their main function, and I call it function because I remember my mom to this day. It nurtured me so much with kindness and helping and advice that she gave me, even when I was an adult. And we also have to discipline them, but it's for their good. Not harsh discipline, but in a way that they can be taught and trained the right way to go. Not only to be good citizens now, but to be good citizens in God's kingdom. Point number six. Grow in service and leadership. Now, Christian leadership is based on service. It is the best possible preparation for the job as a king under Jesus Christ. We should all serve one another. Serve any way you can. Some people's health's not that good, but there's a lot of things that they can do. Send cards, make phone calls, encourage one another. That's a service. When people need something physically, the one that's more able to do it, to go help them. When we know somebody needs something, I've said this before, when my house, the roof fell in, several here in the congregation came down and helped me because I did not know what I was going to do. But I had a lot of help. That's service. When people need something, no matter what it is, if you possibly can, you serve them. Number 7, and the last. Seek and learn to exercise the power of God. Seek and learn to exercise the power of God. In preparing to be a literal king in Christ's government, awareness of and the ability to exercise God's power is absolutely vital. It's vital or we won't even be there because he won't allow any more Satans in the world. We have to learn how to exercise it. For although we are not given anywhere near the degree of supernatural power in this life as we will in God's kingdom, we certainly need to become familiar with it and appreciate it, learn to exercise it, have the wisdom and the patience, self-control, there again, in exercising the power that we do have, that he does give us as leaders. Exercise the power as leaders. Be kind and gentle again. You say the same thing over and over, but you can never say it enough. We must learn to exercise that the power that we have now in our families, in our dealing with one another. We must exercise it. And then in his kingdom, he will give us more power. You know, it's a good thing that he don't give us supernatural power now, because some of us, and myself included, boy, I want that power. I straighten this world out. The problem is I wouldn't probably do it the right way. That's why I don't have that power yet. So we have to have self-control. But what is the true exercise of that power? Well, it is first and most important of all, the spiritual strength of character that enables the truly converted Christian to overcome his own human nature. That's first, like I said earlier, we have to have our life in order for what he can expect others to follow us. To overcome our own human nature and vanity and grow to become like God and Jesus Christ. We are growing to be just like them. God is putting his very own nature in us through the power of his Holy Spirit. An example of that, to show that he is putting his own power in us, his divine nature, we will turn to 2 Peter 1:4. 2 Peter 1:4, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature of God himself, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. One more scripture for that, 2 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy 1, verses 7. And this is so good to know and understand. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. It all goes together. It works together. A sound mind to have for that power. So as begotten sons of God, we receive his very nature. This gives us, as we yield to God and grow spiritually, the strength to increasingly master the wrong, the bad habits, lust, and vanity that seemed impossible for us to overcome before. But with God's Spirit, we can. So let's go to work on these qualities and act on these points. We must now prepare to be a king.